Good evening. Moving on in the book of Acts. Left off last time talking about Stephen and one of the seven deacons that was chosen by God, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And and they didn't like him. They were very disturbed at Stephen. But now, we're going to show you in the seventh chapter, they were much more disturbed after he got through preaching to them. He just talked about one victory after another that God did for the Jewish people. And you know, I've learned that drives Satan absolutely crazy. To just start out and talk about all the things that God has done for this ministry and for me and those in it, all the testimonies. I mean, if you get on people's websites and read their testimonies, you'll find out God's in this house and he does things for everybody. Everybody that will believe. Now we got people that won't believe and they just, you know, feel sorry for themselves and blog and do nothing. Do nothing, frankly. It's just a do nothing bunch. And they don't know God. They don't preach the gospel. They don't cast out any devils. God doesn't supply their needs. No, he doesn't supply their needs. In fact, if they'd have been of us, they would not have gone out from us. But they weren't of us in the first place. They were just people that were in the way, lying in wait to deceive, cunning, crafty men and women, and it was incredible. It didn't work. You can't deceive God. God knows everything about all of us, and he knows. And anybody that has any common wisdom, sense, they can tell that God leads me and directs me and upholds me. Goodness sakes, look at the works. Look at the works. You know, I don't ask you for money. No. You know, a lot of them out there that are on my case, you know what they did? That they had me help them from time to time. Yeah. Then they came to me and said, oh, I'm in trouble. Well, good. What do you want me to do about it? Well, we need some money. Okay. How much do you need? Man, some of them scared me. The amounts. I think, you need a job, don't you? go get you a job and make some money. Thank God. And give the Lord his. Well, Kathy's going to read the seventh chapter of the book of Acts now. And I'll stop her from time to time and comment on some things. This seventh chapter it's amazing. You need to pay attention to what God did with the Jewish people and what he's still doing for them. Kathy, you ready?
Ready. Verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia.
Now this is Stephen talking.
Right.
Right. Okay, go on.
Before he dwelt in Sharon, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Sharon. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when he had yet had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place.
Oh, I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as your saints, your people, read this chapter, let the power of God rest, the anointing of God rest upon these verses of Scripture, and open the hearts of the people that read them, and minister these Scriptures to their heart in the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
8. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house.
Hold it a minute. That was Joseph. Made him governor over everything Pharaoh owned. Go ahead.
11. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sichem, and laid in a sepulchre that Abraham brought for a sum of money of the sons of Emer, the father of Sichem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt steadfastly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds.
Hold it. Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of Egypt, but the wisdom of Egypt did not deliver the Jewish people out of Egypt. It came by the power of God. You'll have to learn, understand, that your education, what you learned at universities or wherever you've studied, will do you no good walking with God. It's an enemy to God. It's not the power of God won't even put up with it. The power of God will set you free. So if you think your education, that your things that you've learned in Bible schools, theology, whatever you've studied, doesn't matter. It won't do you any good. It won't do you any good. You cannot trust in that. All right, go ahead.
23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was the oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us?
Let me show you something. God may have sent you somewhere, or may want to send you someplace, but if you don't go when God sends you, this is what will happen. They said to Moses, Who made you a ruler over us? God. But Moses was a bit ahead of what God wanted done. Go ahead.
28. Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush.
Now look, Moses, God appears to Moses 40 years later. I honestly tell you, I wondered if God would ever do what he told me he was going to do with me. But he has, and he is, right now. All right, let's go.
31. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the afflictions of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them.
Listen to that. God knows their afflictions, and he's heard their cries, and he said, All right, I'm coming to get you out. Don't kid yourself. If you're a man or a woman of God, keep on believing what you're doing, and one day God will set you free or start delivering you. It won't be an instantaneous act. All right, go ahead.
And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt.
How God is speaking about his children. They would not obey. Listen to this. I tell you what, the pressure gets greater and greater as this chapter is read on the people that were upset at Stephen, and the power of God in Stephen just kept pushing them back. Go ahead.
40, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned, and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses.
Stop right there. Notice, God is telling these people that they worshiped the wrong gods, that they didn't worship him. They worshiped the wrong ones. The people that left my ministry over the years, you went off into the wilderness and you started following after other gods. Go on.
Speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God, for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Now look at this. You all think God doesn't get tough with you? He tells you just what you are. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart and ears. Would you go on?
You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you.
That's what's going on with the people that used to be with my ministry. They always resisted the Holy Ghost, and they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't humble themselves. And one day God said, That's enough. I'll judge this group. And he did. He drove them out. And I said yesterday, and I meant it, I'm not going to shed any more tears over you. I told you the truth. I did not shun to declare unto you people the full counsel of God. And guess what? I never asked you one time for any money. Go on.
52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
If you read this and you have ears to hear, you'll see as Stephen's sermon kept increasing, the power of God increased more and more. And it came to a place that where their heart couldn't stand anymore. That word was so sharp, it cut right into their heart. And they were angry. They were mad. They started gnashing upon Stephen with their teeth. Upset. Mad people. Mad because they had been resisting God. And God made a fool out of them. Every single one of them. You know what's interesting? Is they stoned him. They stoned Stephen. And he looked up to heaven. And he saw Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. I don't know of another place in the Bible. There may be, I just don't know where that happened. But he stood up and they stoned him. And you know what was even more interesting? He kneeled down. He kneeled down. He went down on his knees. I need a chair. He kneeled down and then gave up the ghost. And you think that a servant of God being destroyed, the body being destroyed by men and women, and you think it's not in charge and in control, you can't kill it until God is ready. It's as simple as it can be. And I praise the Lord that I'm serving somebody like that. And I've watched people come after me, try to do all kinds of harm to me, try to attack me, and God would knock them in the floor, and I just laugh. It's fun to watch you fools wallow in your own vomit. And that's exactly what you do. Thank God. So, I praise God for Stephen and his sermon. And I praise God for the words that man spoke.